Welcome to Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland, bringing you practical truths from the Word of God that will assist you in living victoriously in every arena of your life. This program is brought to you by Hidden with Christ Ministries of Tustin, California. Now, here's Rita with Keys to Victorious Christian Living.
Hello, friends. We are continuing today in our study in the book of James. In James chapter 1, verse 13, we find these words, "Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt himself anyone." In the Message translation, it has that verse written this way, "Don't let anyone under pressure to give in to evil say, 'God is trying to trip me up.' God is impervious to evil and puts evil in no one's way. Temptation that comes your way to give in to sin, pressures that come to give in to sin in your life, they never come from God. That is something that's very clear here in James 1, verse 13. But in verse 14, we find some of the source of temptation. "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren." Again in the Message translation, it says it this way, "Lust gets pregnant and has a baby, sin. Sin grows up to adulthood and becomes a real killer." And it's very true that when sin, when the desire or lust is conceived, there's a germination process. If it plants in your heart, then it will begin to germinate, or conception takes place. And then eventually it gives birth to sin, which is the actual action. And then sin, when it's full grown in your life, brings forth death. And we've seen this over and over in people's lives. But let me give you a real life example that I observed and was seen in a Los Angeles Times newspaper article, but it described or gave an illustration of how this works very clearly. Some years ago, there was a prominent NFL football player who fell in with some bad companions and got involved in a drug deal and was arrested and put into the county jail. While he was in jail pending the trial on the charges for the drug-related crime, he told the story to the reporter that the following things occurred. He said while he was in that jail cell, someone called him and talked to him about considering having the main witness in this trial killed by contract murder. Now, initially, the young man said to the person who suggested this, "That's ridiculous. Don't even think about it," and hung up the phone. However, he goes on to tell the story how the thought or the consideration, or you could say the desire for that sin, started to conceive in his mind or began conception process. He began to consider it. He began to think of how it would benefit him if this person who was the main witness in the case was removed from the scene. He would get off scot-free. He would never have to pay the consequences of his crime. And he went on to say how the very consideration of the thought began to grow in his mind as the hours passed by, to the point that the following day he called that person back, and together they began to conspire how to bring that awful crime of a contract murder to pass. And he began to make arrangements for it, and he began to enter into the very sin of planning this murder. And what started out as a much smaller offense, the drug-related offense, in terms of what would be his eventual jail time that he would have to pay if convicted, began to take on huge proportions. The story went on to say how he was eventually found out about the conspiracy to murder plot. The person was never murdered, but he then later on went on trial for conspiracy to murder this person and received a very lengthy jail sentence that was almost 30 years long. And the end result of allowing that idea or that thought of sin, the temptation came as a thought, and it took conception in his thought life, and it began to germinate in his spirit, and he agreed with it and began to take action on the thought. And as he did that, his entire life was destroyed, because had he confessed to the original crime, paid his time in prison, repented, he could have potentially gotten out of jail in a year or two, gone back to his career, restored his family relationships. He had a young daughter, about 3 years old. But instead, by allowing that sin to take conception in his mind, and then it gave birth to the sin action of pursuing, conspiring to murder this person, the sin, as it became full grown, brought forth death in his life, destroyed his career, destroyed his marriage, destroyed his family life. He wouldn't get out of that prison until his young daughter was well into adulthood. So we see just from that natural example or illustration of one man's life, how the sin process, or how I should say how the temptation process takes place. The scriptures describe it beautifully, that God didn't tempt the person, but by an individual's own desires, a person becomes enticed. Now, who does the tempting? We all have two enemies in life against ever living a holy life that's totally pursues God. I would say we have the enemy of our soul, as scripture calls Satan, and we also have the enemy of our own carnal flesh, or our fleshly nature. And we have to war against that fleshly nature every day. We have to war against Satan's temptations that come against us, because scripture calls Satan the tempter. In Matthew chapter 4, Satan is identified as the tempter. When Jesus was in the wilderness, it says, when the tempter came to him, and it goes on to describe how Satan tempted Jesus. He did it by suggesting a certain sin. That's exactly how temptation will come to you. Satan will suggest a certain sin to you, and the suggestion or the temptation comes to your mind. You have to understand that your mind is the battleground for your very life. It's the battleground. It's the place where the tempter comes and makes his suggestions. You can allow the suggestions or the thoughts of Satan to take root or conceive, or you can resist them and not allow them to take root. If you're a person that is tempted easily with sensual sin, sexual or lust type sin, you have to understand that when the thought comes, the thought itself to tempt you to look up internet pornography, the thought of doing it is not the sin. The action you take when the sin thought is presented to your heart or your thought life, that's when it becomes sin to you. Satan the tempter brings that thought. You have to resist it if you're going to have victory. Satan knows if he can get victory over your thought life that he has you. That's why the scripture exhorts us that we are to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If we don't take our thoughts captive, our thoughts will take us captive. It's vital for you as a Christian to take your thoughts captive. If you do not, then when sin thoughts come, or the temptation through the thought life comes, then the desire, as it says in James 1:15, will conceive, means it'll implant and grow up into sin, which is the action you'll take prompted by the thought. If you have a thought of looking up internet pornography, you need to resist the thought. Say, I resist you, spirit of lust, or I resist you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. That's how you have to deal with it. Otherwise, you'll end up following through with action, looking up the internet pornography. Now, perhaps that's not an area that you're tempted with, but perhaps you're easily tempted to have a critical spirit, or to gossip, or to think evil of other people. Do you know that in God's eyes, the pornography or the judgmental spirit, either one to God are both sin? He does not have a higher hatred for pornography than he does for judgmental spirit. The scripture says that we're to resist the lusts of the flesh or we're to resist youthful lusts, but it also says we're to judge not, lest we be judged. So the judgmental attitude, the critical spirit, the unforgiving attitude, or the spirit of gossip, all of those things to God are the same. He hates sin, and he wants us to hate sin. But you're going to have victory in your life if you find out and recognize what the Word says about where temptation's source is. You will see that it comes to your thought life. It will come there, and if you let it plant or conceive there, it will grow up, give birth to sin, and then sin, when it's full grown, will bring death or destruction into your life. Be a person determined to not allow Satan's thoughts or the thoughts of temptation towards sin to implant in your life. Resist them when they come immediately, whether it's a thought of gluttony, of overeating, of drinking alcohol or smoking or whatever the area is. Say, I resist you in the name of Jesus. Speak it out loud. If it's fear, God says, fear not. So to you, it's a sin if you fear. When fear tries to grip you and it always will go after your thought life, say, I resist you, spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus. And by doing this, by recognizing where temptation attacks you, which is in your thought life, you will have victory and you will be able to walk a victorious life every day. This is Rita Langland encouraging you. There's no wound so deep that Christ cannot heal it, no bondage so strong that Christ cannot break it, and no life so far gone that God cannot turn it around. Have a victorious day.
Thanks for joining us today for Keys to Victorious Christian Living with Rita Langland. If you would like to support this ministry, please write to us at Hidden with Christ Ministries, P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. That's P.O. Box 3267, Tustin, California, 92781. Visit our website at www.hiddenwithchrist.com, where you may order tapes or submit a prayer request. Or call us at toll-free 1-866-HE-HEALS. Again, thanks for joining us for Keys to Victorious Christian Living.